See, I'm rolling my eyes at you. Hello, Shannon Grimm with Shannon Grimm Partners at Howard Hanna Real Estate Services. Here with Crazy Mike Stanley. And yes, all the women in his life do roll their eyes at him. And Slavi Jordanoff. So today we just wanted to not have a guest, but just kind of talk to you about some recent headlines and everything that have been out there. Just a lot of misinformation. So we have some concerns concerning that misinformation. And the biggest concern I think we all have is that we feel like it's stretching that gap between the lower and middle income class and the higher class people kind of far. And it's going to make it more difficult for first-time home buyers and veterans.
Yeah, anybody taking a VA loan, anybody buying a home for the first time that's not getting income from selling a home, it's going to be tough if things are changed around like they're wanting them to be. But honestly, the big misinformation is that
it's new.
It's yeah, that a lot of
everybody.
A lot of these things have been the way they've been for decades. And you know, there is no standard commission, and you know, our agreements are discussed when we list a home,
and
most
years,
sellers understand why they are the way they are.
Yeah, and for years we would explain to sellers, and I guess some of us in the industry a little better than others, would explain to the sellers that the commission, the total commission, is whatever percentage, and then we split that with the buy side also. So
not 6% standard. That's not a thing.
It's always been negotiable. Like anything.
A lot
in
of people
real estate.
Just like to say 6% because they feel like it was the competitive thing to say. So everyone
right.
just started saying it. Other states, other localities, I have higher, lower, and even within a locality, you can do whatever you want. I can charge 100% if I wanted. I'm not going to get any business, but
well, so really, the only things that are truly changing is the fact that commission will not be allowed to be displayed on the MLS. So an agent will not know how much commission that they would earn from a seller on the MLS, which I'm actually good with, because one of the ways that I've been able to win bidding wars is by going to a house that had a reduced commission on it, in what most agents would feel would be a reduced commission, knowing that I didn't care what I was getting commission-wise, because I just wanted my buyer to be comfortable and to not have to deal with the bidding war. So I'm like, let's go check out this house. And of course, we got the house because there wasn't a whole lot of activity on it, which should not be the case. So I think the benefit to sellers, even if sellers are offering a commission, is when we don't display it on the MLS, agents will not have that bias that they're not supposed to have going to a house. Where for me, it helped me because I knew, hey, I can take my people there, and now they're neighbors in my neighborhood, because that was the only way they were going to get in my neighborhood, was to go to a house with a significantly reduced commission. And I didn't care. So it is what it is.
Well, the big thing is they're going to call. The agents are going to call, text, email on listings to find out what is being offered. And the reason that's offered is to get as many buyers into a home as possible, because you want to have competition and you want to get the most from your house.
Right. And so for me, a seller should offer a commission to a buyer's agent, because that opens up your buyer pool.
Big time.
So like we were saying, it's going to severely hinder people that are middle to lower income and veterans. So with a VA, they're not even allowed to pay for a termite inspection.
Correct.
I'm sorry, wood boring insect inspection.
Wood destroying insect.
Whatever, either way. But they're not allowed to pay for that, and they're required to have it. So, you know, the VA requires them to have this, but they're not allowed to pay for it. And then, you know, you can buy a home not represented by an agent, but I'll give you an example here in Dublin. Someone bought a property here in Dublin for $1 million. They tore down the house because it was on acreage. They bought it from a for sale by owner without an agent. They tore the house down on this $1 million property, thinking that they could build two more houses on this land. And the city of Dublin said, no, you don't. So, you know, and I think it hurts people not to have a good real estate agent. And I will say good real estate agent. So those of us that are full time in the industry, we care about what's doing best for the public. So sure, we make a living doing this, but we're not going to sacrifice, you know, a referral. So basically, like, I'm going to a listing appointment tonight because someone referred me. If I treated them wrong or didn't look out for their best interest, no one's going to refer to me. Right. So our, you know, we don't even look at ourselves as salespeople. Like, I think we were all offended. The new listing agreement right. that our brokerage put out says salesperson sign here. And I'm like, oh, it just makes me cringe. Like, mm-hmm. Just salesperson has such a slimy, you know, connotation to it. And we think of ourselves as more of like an educator for the public and also an advocate for the public and an advocate for first-time home buyers.
For our clients, for the public.
And even if you're building a home.
And educator.
Even if you're building a home, we're your advocate. We're going to drive by that home and make sure that you're getting what you actually paid for. So there's been incidences, easy for me to say, where I've seen that a buyer wasn't getting what they actually paid for in a home that was being constructed. And we were able to take care of that through the builder fairly quickly. They tried to make it a little more difficult than it needed to be, but it was truly the builder's mistake, and we caught it. So
that happened when building my house.
Yeah, and that may not happen if you don't have an agent involved.
And if it's not caught early, it usually doesn't
depending
go
on
well.
What it is, right? Yeah.
So many things can arise throughout right. the process, and you need somebody that can guide you and, you know, like, watch your best interest, like you said.
Yeah,
like
and has done it repeatedly.
Correct.
And the problem is that the real estate industry, forget all the new supposed new stuff, but the real estate industry changes so frequently. If you haven't bought and sold a home like recently, then the rules could have changed.
Right.
So, you know, you really need to have someone guide you.
Too, yeah.
Yeah. Like if you're not doing something all the time, you kind of
right.
have to relearn it.
Right.
And with real estate, you really have to relearn it. But what's even scarier is some agents have to relearn it every time because they're doing it so infrequently. Because they have what they call real jobs, which this is our real job, by the way.
Correct.
And that's highly offensive when someone tells me they have to say it's their real job.
We do this full time.
Yeah.
All three of us.
All way full time. And as I told someone in a meeting earlier, I'm pretty sure I average like $2 an hour. So yay me. But, you know, we truly are advocates for the buyer and for the seller. So I was also telling someone else today, I've never asked a seller, what's the least amount you'll take for this home? Because I don't care. That's not my goal.
Yeah, and it's to get the most. My thing is, as a seller, you want the most for your home. We are using that commission as almost like marketing for the home to get as many buyers in there so the buyer's agents bring their buyers.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing is, you are taking away by asking for the buyers to pay for their buyer's commission. You're taking away their down payment, their closing costs,
mm-hmm.
anything they're bringing to the table to be able to afford your home, because a lot of these people are lower middle income, first-time home buyers, VA, like we discussed. They can't afford that extra money out of pocket. When they go to sell the house, though, if they offer up a buyer's commission, that's when they're paying it. And that's when
mm-hmm.
people, as you buy and sell homes, it evens
right.
out. But my thing is, as a seller, do you really want to miss out on those buyers?
Over 3% or whatever the
yeah.
percentage is.
Do you really want to then open your house up to people who are unlicensed to be in there? I mean,
mm-hmm.
we are licensed individuals with the state of Ohio. If something, we are, you know, responsible for the home and what
mm-hmm.
happens in it with the buyers while we're there. Do you want to open the house up to unlicensed individuals to come tour it? I mean, do
because
you
you're
want
trying
to
avoid paying anyone
yeah,
for
correct.
It. Correct. So, and there's been lots of incidences where people have bought a home from an owner. So here's the thing, right? You've never had to buy a home or you've never had to sell your home using a real estate agent. And a lot of people don't realize either that a realtor and a real estate agent are not necessarily the same thing. So not everyone who has a real estate license is a realtor because realtor is a trademark that is owned by the National Association of Realtors. And with that comes the code of ethics. So, and people don't understand that we are held to a higher standard. So TV does not do us justice either. Like I was watching 2.5 Men last night and I was like totally cringing at what the mom was doing in her real estate deal. Like, ah, geez, this is why people think that all real estate agents are shady or awful or whatever. But we are Midwestern real estate agents and we are not like that. So. And I take offense to that when I watch it on TV. And I could never watch Modern Family because I just thought that was a total just ludicrous. I just couldn't watch. I tried one episode and it was about the guy who was a real estate agent. And I'm like, ugh, it was just cringeworthy.
So, but yeah, but most people do. You're right. Most people think real estate agents, realtors, everybody is one if you are one, and it's not true. Realtors are held to a different standard.
Higher standard.
We have our code of ethics, and you know, we have standards that we have to be held to within the Board of Realtors, on top of our license law that's through the state that we are held to. So it's multiple layers, and it's because we are genuinely here to help the public. I love helping people find homes and making their dreams come true because that is where you raise a family. That is where it's your oasis. That's where you live. That's where you work. That's where you do everything. And it is a big deal, and it feels great to be able to help with people with that, or to help people realize, you know, their financial dreams because they are using it to help invest or for a business, and it's very rewarding.
Well, one of the sure ways to make yourself, you know, in the whole wealth realm, to gain wealth, is to own real estate. So, and if we're making that harder and harder for people to do, and we go more to this whole rental state, it's not helping anyone. So I just find that very sad.
It's difficult, and it's difficult to afford. You know, the affordability is, you know, going down, while some of these new rules are starting to come in effect. It was already on a down.
It's making it more difficult for even first-time homebuyers the most.
Way more difficult.
And ironically, contrary to some of the news publications, if you don't pay us, it doesn't mean that homes will instantly be affordable and supply and demand will instantly level. Because how much we make doesn't have anything to do with supply and demand. So in Central Ohio, we are still 8,000 housing units short. And we can't build things fast enough, predominantly because we are short on 3,000 electricians, 3,000 plumbers, and everything else in between. And I met with a gentleman the other day who said, oh, Central Ohio is going to become like Detroit, because Central Ohio is not a industry. You know, we're not designed to be a manufacturing industry town. And I said, well, so you think that the whole reason people want to live here is because of Intel that's not even here yet? And I'm like, we have maybe a handful of people that live here from Intel. I said, other people who have come here and gone to school here, or, you know, any number of things have brought them here, their jobs have brought them here, they choose to stay and find a job here. And we are definitely more of a white-collar town. The Intel thing is a bonus.
It is. We have more Fortune 500 companies headquartered here per capita than anywhere else in the U.S.
So, and we've always been more insulated. So, you know, and our area went down when we did have that bubble burst. We went down later than the rest of the state and the rest of the country, and we rebounded quicker than the rest of the state and the rest of the country. So we've always been a little more insulated because we have some of the top employers like Ohio Health and Nationwide Insurance, and a lot of the big banks are here. And then we have Ohio State, which is, you know, a lot of people who have never been here think we're a little college town. Well, first of all, Ohio State is not a little college.
It's the largest university in the country. Yeah. It's the largest university in the country.
Right.
And if they want things done, they will. If they want to move a road, they'll move a road. And the state will make it happen for them because they're one of the largest employers. So I found that interesting that people, like that gentleman was from California and he thought things were here were expensive. And I'm like, then you haven't been in California long enough because we're still not California expensive. So I find it interesting the different ways that we're perceived from outside of the state. And I remember one couple, she said if she had to move to Ohio, she wanted goats. And she thought that there was livestock everywhere. And they were totally shocked that you have to have 5 acres to have livestock. So it was super cute, though. I found them a house where they could have goats. So, and they have done goat yoga and stuff, I know. So.
But it is interesting to know that in Bexley, you can have a chicken coop and keep chickens, which
you
always
can have chickens anywhere in Columbus.
I know. But Bexley is what blew my mind because my friends moved down there, and when they were buying their house, they were like, we're going to raise chickens. I was like, huh, I haven't looked into that down there. I just can't imagine Bexley doesn't have something locally that says no chickens. No,
it's
they haven't.
It's still City of Columbus.
They still can do it, which blew my mind.
So Bexley is still City of Columbus. Like when I moved here like 33 or 34 years ago, Upper Arlington, Bexley, Worthington, all those places were still Columbus. So it wasn't until, you know, after that, I don't know when, but we started actually calling them what they are. Like, at some point, I remember my driver's license got upgraded. I'm like, woohoo, I'm in Upper Arlington now. I've been in Columbus for, like, years. And I'd lived in the same house forever. So, just kind of funny. So, in the city of Columbus, as long as you get permission from the neighbors behind you, in front of you, and beside you, and you show plans of your chicken coop to the city of Columbus, they will say yay or nay, which is disgusting to me. But what do I know? I don't want to be around chickens.
And that's including a rooster that can sing in the morning.
I don't know.
I love the chickens. They're fun. They're fun and funny. They scare my wife a little bit, which is hilarious.
So I had to watch the movie The Birds as a child. So, which is why it's my birth mother, not my mom. She made me watch the movie The Birds. So it's like scarred me for life.
I mean, that
and cat
movie.
People was kind of scary as a child. So I'm surprised I ever had a cat. It was just scary. But anyhow. So if anyone has any questions or concerns about the supposed new rules or whatever, it's really not new to us. I find myself explaining it to agents every day.
I love that. So the new rules, so 6%, the new standard is not the new. It's like 6% was never a standard.
Hey, I had someone who told me I was worth 10%.
And that's what I'm saying. You could ask for that. You could ask for whatever you want. And right. You could say, I'm going to take all 8%. I'm going to ask for 8%. I'm not going to offer any to a buyer's agent. I'm taking it for myself. Well, you'd be a terrible agent if you were doing that. But,
yes, and people would do
and
that.
But that's what I'm saying. There's no standards.
Right.
There's a standard contract that you have to sign where things are filled in, but all of that explains it. That's why also no one's trying to pull the wool over your eyes.
Right.
There are standard forms that we will explain to you and that you can read that have everything in writing.
I just find it mind-blowing how often I'm having to explain this to another agent. Like, how do you not know this already? And I think that's part of where the problem came in, is that people weren't explaining this to their sellers because they didn't understand it. So what you're going to start seeing...
Because they weren't full-time agents.
This is true. But what you're going to start seeing is you're going to start seeing buyer's agency agreements. And one of the things we've discussed is how, you know, we've never been really comfortable with the buyer's agency agreement, but we're going to have to start doing that mm-hmm. in like June or July.
And people have been doing it for a while. I just don't like to, I just,
we're sometimes just it's not. Required. Like, yeah. I think 30% in the nationwide is required mm-hmm. to have buyer agency.
But we kind of talked that, like, you know, how comfortable are you as a buyer? Like, okay, hey, Mr. Buyer, I just met you 5 minutes ago. I need you to sign here. This is going to bind you to me, and it says that you're going to pay me my rate of pay. We're just not comfortable with that. So we will still give a buyer, you know, hey, one or two times of meeting them just so they kind of, you know, see if they, right, because you pretty much know out of the gate whether you like me or not, and it's kind of, there's no in between. So, you know. And I don't really want to force someone to work with me who doesn't want to work with me. It's not my style. So I'm kind of quirky and kind of weird. And this one's kind of loud. And he's just handsome and very polite.
Even that was just that awkward smile and hand gesture. Sexy.
So, you know, we're just not people who are going to, like, force you to work with us. But we're going to have to go that route with the buyer's agency agreement, because that buyer's agency agreement will actually be the only document that will allow us to put that the seller should pay us whatever percentage in the purchase agreement. Without that, we can't put that in there. So that's why that's going to become a requirement. So we're going to get real good at explaining that to buyers and why everyone else is doing it too. We're just not going to make people do it right out of the gate because we don't think it's fair. So, but if anyone has any questions on buyer's agency agreements going forward or listing your home, give us a call. We are full-time agents and can explain everything to you very well and very detailed. That's why everyone else calls us for advice too, even though they have a license. But give us a call. So our office number is 614-401-5077, and you'll get one of us. But we look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for listening.